Good morning. I would like to extend a warm welcome to those of you who are visitors today. I think there are a number of visitors here today, and I'd especially like to welcome friends of mine from Hartford, Diana Henry and her daughters, DeJay and Devian Bennett, and you'll see them a little bit more later in the worship service. There are pads on the inside aisle. Sign them and pass them that way so that you can meet the people who are in your pews on the right, there you go. There are, I think, a number of announcements for the good of the order this morning. I first want to say something that's not in the bulletin calendar, and that is that the youth are having a pool party at Juliet Chan's parents' house on Friday night at 5 o'clock. Anybody who needs a ride, let me know. I'm going to meet some people here at the church and drive over there. So we hope that anybody, middle school, high school, will join us for some fun, enjoy some cool water to refresh us all. The barbecues on the lawn continue, and I don't see Gina here. Don't know if anybody else is here to announce it, but we do need co-leaders for each week. And if you haven't signed up, this is a great chance. Our college students hosted last week and did a fabulous job, but this week I think we have people, but on down the line, let us know if you're able to co-host, join with somebody else to set up and clean up from the barbecue. The Bible study continued this morning and will continue to be each Sunday morning prior to worship. I think it meets at, is it 9 o'clock? Downstairs at 9 o'clock, studying the Gospel of John. And Med Hat has a couple of announcements.
Reminder about what's in your bulletin, the insert, about writing your thoughts, your ideas, and this will be available for another week. And this is about to say whatever in your heart, in your mind. If you are not able to come to any of our meetings, or if you really have something you consider maybe sensitive, how to put it, how people will understand it, you just write your notes and don't worry about the rest. We want to hear you. We really want to understand how to think about the future and how to consider every voice and every thought in the church will be considered in our plan for the future. After worship, we'll have a meeting, very important meeting, to talk about the future of our church in terms of the pastoral leadership and how God is calling us and what kind of mission we want to do to apply this call. And then we'll talk specifically about what kind of pastoral leadership really could fit and carry us to do God's work in this church.
This is the day that God has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Let us worship God together. Our first hymn is Mighty to Save, led by the worship band.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Everyone needs compassion. cross and conquer the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, with all my fears abandoned, and feel my life again. I give my life to follow and everything I believe in, and I surrender.
I surrender.
Savior, He can move down mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
In spite of God's love for us and gift of love to us, we often act in destructive or harmful ways. We close our heart to God and disobey God's law. Relying on God's promise of grace, let us confess our sin now, first in the silence of our own hearts and then together using the words printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. And together, gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us the consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open us to a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. While it may be true that we have sinned, it is a greater truth that we are forgiven through God's love in Jesus Christ. To all who humbly seek God's mercy, I say, know that in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Be at peace.
Now it's time to share our joy and concern among each other and to the Lord.
I'd like continued prayers for Walter. He fell once this week backwards, got checked out, nothing obvious, but he has aches and pains from that. And also for my grandson, Mason Sanford, who's experiencing depression. He's going to be 16 next month.
Walter and grandson.
Walter and
grandson, the name Mason.
I'm bad. I didn't make it up in time for the announcements. So I'm going to use this opportunity to talk about what joy we have at the barbecue. You know, the barbecue is really fun. If you guys are not coming to the barbecue, you are missing out on a really, really good time. We just hang out. We talk. We get to know each other in a different way. It is just so much fun. So Our hosts for the barbecue this Tuesday night are going to be the St. Jacques and the Paddens. And I know the food will be delicious, and there's just, oh, please come.
This is a good prayer, too. We can pray for that. So.
First, just a quick update and prayers of Thanksgiving. We received word that Heather won't need radiation, so we're grateful for that. And just ongoing prayers for her continued recovery and healing. She's actually working this morning, so not a surprise to most of you that know her.
Thank you. I'd like to ask for prayers, please, on behalf of Edward Walrod, who worships with us as part of our college fellowship. Edward is back home for the summer in his home in Quincy, Mass. At his home church, his PPC church, he is the director of youth for the summer. He and 10 youth and 10 adults from his church in Quincy are going to be going on a mission trip for a month to Belize. And there they're going to be teaching Bible study. They're going to be running a vacation Bible school and a medical clinic during that time. And so he asks for our prayers for safe travels during this trip for them and for their spreading of the word of the Lord in Latin America. And we'd like to pray for them. Thank you.
Edward and the mission.
Maybe not a sin of omission, but at least an oversight of omission that last week we didn't mention the Martin Zimmerman verdict. And that is puzzling of concern because it goes to the core of race in America. It goes to the core of guns somehow being the answer to everything, even when the rationality behind their use is sort of beyond the pale. So beyond the politics of it, beyond the legalities of obviously very narrow decision in the court case itself, things that were put off the table, things that the prosecutors were either too stupid to bring into play or were not allowed to bring into play, we do have an ongoing problem. As somebody would once say, we have issues. And I guess I pray for those issues that they aren't going to be resolved overnight, but they are of long standing in this country and really around the world. But I think we've got it in some cases worse than other places because of the way things have been polarized and the way violence seems to be the theme.
I'd just like to ask for ongoing prayers for my grandma. They decided that she won't need chemotherapy because of her age, but she will be having radiation. So just ongoing prayers for her, and prayers for my brother-in-law, who was diagnosed with shingles this week. So just, he was able to go back to work, but just prayers for his continued, for his health too. So Ann and Mark.
Please continue to pray for my brother-in-law, John, who is only 50, and he's on the heart transplant list.
I'll ask for prayer for two of our kids who are sick, Asher and Sebastian. So.
Let us be God's people at prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for the many blessings of our lives, for life and health, for morning and evening, for the warmth of summer days and for refreshing rain, for times spent with family and friends, for all that you give us to sustain our lives. We're grateful for the times that this community gathers to celebrate, for our barbecues, and we celebrate the good news for Heather in her healing. Continue to be with her as her path winds forward into what we hope will be a fully healthy future. Oh God, we ask for a church that ministers every day to bring people together in your name, for hearts that will not judge, for minds that recognize injustice and oppression in all its forms, for hands that are open to your call. We are mindful of the many blessings of this church, for those who lead, for Pastor Medhat and the Interim Study Committee, and especially for Pastor Chris as she comes to the end of her sabbatical. Continue to bless her days with refreshment and insight that she might return to us renewed and energized. Merciful God, the nations you have called into being are many and full of marvels. We pray for their well-being, for leaders and workers, teachers and soldiers, scholars, artists, parents, and peacemakers, for nations and peoples in strife, especially those who are in Egypt and Syria. May your way be known in all lands, that there may be peace and joy for all. Turn our hearts, Holy One, to respect and honor those who are not like us. Let us see peoples of every nation, in them the majesty of your desire for richness and difference. O God, we ask your blessings upon Edward and the youth from the Quincy Church as they go on their mission trip. Merciful God, we pray for bodies and spirits to be healed. Hear us this morning as we lift up Jeff, Walter, Mason, Asher, Sebastian, Mark, Anne, and John. O God, we also ask that you keep in your care all who have been affected by the Zimmerman case. Be present, O Lord, in places where violence seems to be the only way, and particularly in places where there is racial confrontation. May we learn peace and cease to fear those who are different. Holy God, we ask that you be present with all who mourn, especially this morning, Carmen and her family. May they know your presence and grace in the midst of this time. We ask your special blessing, O God, on the children in our communities for their play and work this summertime. Give them strength and renewal. Keep them safe. Be with all those who are overworked, underemployed, or unemployed. Offer them your wisdom, patience, and strength. Help us to honor times of work and times of Sabbath. May we recognize your creative presence and guidance in our daily lives. We offer you also, O God, the burdens we carry in the silence of our own hearts. May we know your presence and healing. Into your hands we place our prayers and all whose welfare we entrust to your care. Bless them and all those whose needs are known to you alone. And hear us now as we pray together using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite all the boys and girls to join me up front, and my friends over here. Will you come up here too, Dejay and Devian? These ladies were on my mission trip that I went with the Hartford Group to Florida,
And on that trip, I learned a lot about them. I already knew that they were dancers, but I learned more, and I thought, maybe they would be willing to come and share their gifts of dance with you. So they're going to scoot over this way, and they're going to sit right here. Come on up, sit right here with these kids. They are children of God, too. And I'm going to, sit right where, you might want to all sit on a bench, because you're going to want to see in a minute. So here's my question. You know how I always have to ask a question, right? There you go. What's the best way to praise God? What's the best way to praise God? What do you think? Any ideas? Yeah. To pray. That's a great way to praise God. What else could we do to praise God? Yeah. Sing? Eliza says sing. What do you think? That's good, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. What? Silent prayer for those who need our help. That's an excellent. So here's some ideas, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong by giving me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Try the thumbs up first. Thumbs up, thumbs down. So you can praise God by jumping up and down. Thumbs up, thumbs down. No, down, okay. You can praise God by saying hallelujah. Thumbs up, thumbs down. They're about half and half. Okay, you can praise God by doing a lot of numbers and figuring things out and making payments. I say, some people in this church, that's the way they share their gifts with God. So you can praise God by dancing. Thumbs up or thumbs down. So here's what I want you to think about this morning. All the gifts that we have, all the things that God gave us that we do well, if we use them in the right way, they can be a gift of thanksgiving and praise to God. So my friends here are going to show you how they praise God, and we are going to sit right here where we can see them, okay? Can I fit in here? Oh, good. I'm sure I can. Scoot over. Make room. Yep. Come on up where you can see.
Let's say a prayer.
You repeat after me, okay? Ready?
Oh God, we give you thanks for the gifts you have given us. May we use them well to praise you. Amen. And now if you are 3, 4, 5 in kindergarten, first, second, or third grade, you can go downstairs, okay?
This morning's Old Testament lesson is Psalm 52, found on your pew Bibles on 493, also projected, in large print, page 641. Why do you boast, O mighty one, of mischief done against the godly? All day long you are plotting destruction. Your tongue is like a sharp razor, you worker of treachery. You love evil more than good and lying more than speaking the truth. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear and will laugh at the evildoer, saying, "See the one who would not take refuge in God, but trusted in abundant riches and sought refuge in wealth? But I am like the green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because of what you have done. In the presence of the faithful, I will proclaim your name, for it is good." And our second reading is from the New Testament, and it's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And that's in the New Testament on page 67 in your pew Bibles and 87 in a large print, also projected. "Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody, and I hope you enjoyed the break of better weather compared to until the last few days. So let us enjoy that and share our joy to the Lord and to each other. And if you just heard what you listened to Psalm verse 52 and what you heard from Luke also 10:38-42, and if you felt uncomfortable with some words, that's right. And if you felt something is really not good about these words, in the beginning of the psalm, there are some harsh statements, maybe you will say, maybe I would like to read just the half of the psalm. And actually, I was thinking about doing that. But I said, I'm going to follow the lectionary and also invite the Spirit to help us to deal when we hear something could look as harsh and as hard as we hear. And as we move to the New Testament, if you are a woman, I feel and I can believe and understand that when you hear the conversation between Martha and Jesus Christ. And if you feel a little bit complaining and not fair in this conversation, maybe that's right. For a long time, as a church and as a people of faith, we choose to ignore these problems. We choose not to address our feelings. We choose not to really be in reality with what could really shock us and what could us, how do we feel when we hear something like that. But today, this message to us is, could we see the struggle of a text or a conversation or an event like everybody's talking about what's going on in the United States now with Trevon event and what happened? And regardless where you stand and which side you will take, and we can all polarize in different issues and a different side. But we can all agree on, could we really dig inside ourselves? Could we really, this could be an invitation, an opportunity to listen and to hear something different. And going back to our story, this story is included four people. Luke, the writer, Jesus Christ, the guest, Mary, the listener, and Martha, the host. According to Luke, Jesus is the guest, and this is the most important, is Luke saying, Jesus is going to Jerusalem. Sometimes you hear that over all the gospel. This is the central idea for Luke, is to reminding us the most important is Jesus going to Jerusalem. So from a perspective of a writer, Luke is only interested not only what's going on between Martha and Mary and Jesus, but to remind us this is a place where Jesus took rest before he went to his final destination. And Martha, according to the story, she is the person at home, and she's the one very responsible to take care of the guest. Mary and Martha's sister, sat to listen to Jesus. And she's not concerned about other things like how to make this guest comfortable or how to please this guest. Jesus was focused on his journey toward Jerusalem, and he needed some rest, not only for his body, but he needed support for his mission and food for the Spirit to keep him going in his ministry. And it is hard for us to remember that, because we lean all the time to think about Christ, the divine, the superhuman, the one who really always doesn't need to be human like us. But maybe it's time now to come down on the earth and remember Jesus Christ was a fully human too. And he was like any of us, could go through doubts and fears, and he needed people to support him and to let him say, you can keep going on your journey. Jesus found a wonderful place for rest as a guest through the hard work that Martha offered, but also his spiritual need was met during the conversation between him and Mary. And when Mary was focused on Christ, she was sending a great message to Christ, telling him, there are people who like to take your ministry serious, and they do not waste any time when they found you. When they have the chance to meet with you, because you are a great teacher. And in other words, Mary was saying, I know how important to spend every second with you. This story took place in one home that gathered different characters with different needs and different interests. And when we try to meet the need of every individual, then we run into a really conflict. Then we run to how we could meet the priority and the top need of everybody without telling somebody you are number two or number three. It seems impossible. It seems hard. We all know that what comes first for somebody else will come maybe last. And we are as a church, we have this too. We all have our own need, and we come to the church with our top need, and we hope my first thing will be met first. But let's keep going to go back to the story that could help us to learn how to deal with this dilemma. For example, the top priority for Luke is to remind us about Christ's mission is the top goal to reach Jerusalem. For Mary, her top need is to listen to Christ as the teacher and as the friend, and in general, to see him maybe like an older brother. For Martha, she needed to offer an excellent home service, as to say, Jesus, you are also a special guest. For Christ, he needed rest for his body and support for his soul in his trip to Jerusalem. You can see they are not the same. Everybody is looking for something different. Everybody needs is different, even among Martha, Mary, and Christ. And when we combine all these needs and try to find a way to make everybody 100% happy, then we have really to turn our face to God, because this is something really hard to do. This is a big dilemma. It is not an easy to see this story as an answer to everybody needs, because of all these differences could bring conflict very easy. My needs comes first, and why my needs comes last. But here is how I see this story. I see the story as an opportunity to think different, to speak your mind, and to think bigger about things, and above all, really take risk through reason and faith. When we see things, we cannot say just accept it by faith, because God gave us this mind, which will tell us if you put two things with each other, they could bring conflict or they could work together. Our minds work with math. If you add 1 + 1, it's equal 2. We cannot ignore that, but we are not also only limited to that. Everybody in this story is a great hero, because they are very courage people, because they took risk and broke the wall of fear and acted outside the box of tradition. They violated a lot of rules according to an ancient tradition. And listen what they did. Mary challenged the normal expectation of a woman rule, what woman should do. A woman should host a guest. And even she is in more troubles, because if this guest is a male, according to a Middle Eastern culture 2,000 years or even until today, that's a big, really violence to do that and be in a presence of a male. She was not captive by what people will say about her and her behavior. And please do not forget this happened 2,000 years ago, and not in a Western world, but in Middle East. So she really stepped out of the box and the culture. Martha also was the most courageous person and the most sincere, because she talked about her issue. She's not covering up her feeling anymore. She is seeing what really she's going through. You can name it anger, outrageous, whatever you call it. But she was really also vulnerable. She made herself available to say, this is how I think, this is how I feel, and this is how I like to share with you. I could cover it up, and I could swear after Jesus leave the house and do a lot of things, or go to my own room and close the door and just try to talk with myself and keep it to myself. But this is a wonderful saint who taught us a true believer is a hard worker in a kitchen and a true and an honest, sincere talker to others too. And she was saying, I did everything expected and even more about me as a woman and as a person has to take care of the house. But my head is spinning with my thoughts that is bothering me and I'm really angry. I'm not happy. It's not fair. When she shared her feeling with Christ, she added to her credits as a great woman, as being a hard worker, and also telling us she's not an angel who will take everything and always will be good all the time and have no fear and no even anger. But she was telling us she's a real human being with the capacity to be happy and to be angry, even from the closest people, from her sister. And even too, maybe somehow she's not happy with her close friend, Christ. We can see Jesus not only as a guest, but also he become the friend and the teacher. But listen, who invited him to be like that? Through Martha's questions. He could stay, and as a guest, I can understand, as a guest, you should behave. You should not cross the boundaries. As a guest, you receive, you say thank you, you smile, everything is fine. If there is any dynamic in the family, just close your eyes. That's the expectation. But I think Martha's really gave him a great opportunity to say, you are not just a guest. You are somebody who knows us very well. And Martha reminds Jesus, he is the teacher. I know you are tired of that. I know you are tired of being an honest and speaking that, but this is part of who you are. And he has something to offer to resolve this problem. She trusted Jesus to be a good referee. Here is my problem. If I feel no justice in the system, no justice in the family, no justice in how things run, who else could I go? Where else could I go? Jesus also did not act as a guest according to the culture, as I said. But he said, I am also the way and the life. And I am also, if you see me as an older brother, I will be your older brother who will listen to everybody. Jesus' answer to Martha came not as a condemnation or how dare you do that or you speak like that. But it has an opportunity to think about what is important and what is the most important. Because she was not there, because Jesus was not there forever, but he was there for a short visit. Jesus was advising Martha in another word about distract, which this is another area of disagree about people who translate this word and evil people still feel this is not the accurate translation. Some people say there is another better translation for a word, distract. Jesus was telling her to put things on hold. Put things on hold to capture the moment that will not wait for you. There are things in life that are important, and what she was doing, a great thing, but these things you could keep on hold. But this time is a precious moment. Do not waste. Calm down. You are doing a great job, but you are really doing too much. When we come to this church, we all bring our own baggage that filled with different things. And when we share those things with honesty, compassion, hard work, and deep and honest conversation, then the rule of our faith in Christ will keep us toward the right destination. Covering up, ignoring the problem, pretending there is nothing wrong, never work out. It's only delay the problem, only makes our issues harder and more difficult. Time like the interim time at PBC could cause us to be anxious or worried about our future, about today? And what is our future with the pastoral leadership? But today is our chance to see this time as an opportunity to catch our breath and to think about our call as a church and how is our mission could change to carry this call to the world. Is this really an opportunity? Or I hope you not see it as a burden. I'd like to finish my sermon with this Greek myth. The ancient Greeks people like to find an explanation for everything around them. And the ancient Greeks wondered about why some birds can fly and the other cannot. And everybody was really struggled with that. And the answer was, one day gods asked all birds to carry stones and move it from one place to another. And the birds looked at each other and some wonder about, what's the purpose of that? This is a waste of time. And some say, I'm not going to participate in that. And the other decided to say, I'm going to be just hold the stick from the middle. I'm going to pick the smallest stone and the lightest one so I can just, nobody can tell what's going on here. But the people who find themselves, they're really committed to carry whatever in front of them, even when it comes to a very big stone. They found that the one picked the biggest stone, it became the wings that helped them to fly higher and farther. And while we can see some events as a source of discomfort and worry, but by faith in God and in ourselves, we can work together to make any conflict and differences as a great opportunity to think different, and is it as an invitation to understand each other better, because this is our faith. This is our time to really practice our faith fully and honestly. Amen.
And now please rise and join with me in reciting the affirmation of faith from a brief statement of faith from the PCUSA. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick and binding the brokenhearted. Eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world. God raised Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from death to life eternal. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. And now let us show our gratitude to God with our tithes and offerings.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, from whom comes all that is good, we praise you for your mercies, for your goodness that has created us, your grace that has sustained us, your discipline that has corrected us, your patience that has borne with us, and your love that has redeemed us. Help us to love you and to be thankful for all your gifts by serving you and delighting to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And then Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age."